Good evening, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervey, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here with my wonderful co-host, Lauren Savon, to be the managing partners of your life. I'm not a managing partner tonight. I'm a managing partner, co-partner with Lauren Savon. Welcome back, Lauren.
Thank you for having me again, Alan. Great to be here.
I'm happy to have you. Lauren is a well-established anchor person, reporter, journalist, correspondent for Beyond TV. You might know her from Fox Network, Dr. Drew, Studio 11, and she tweets at Lauren Savon, and her tweets are great. Are you as creative as your tweeting and Facebook and your social media appear, or do you have someone writing them for you?
No, I don't have anyone writing it for me.
No way.
I'm not there yet, Alan. Hopefully,
hopefully
one day I'll have people for that. Right now, I got to do it myself.
But wait a second. It's more creative. I saw a bit you did on Zoom, and it was so creative, and I'm sitting there thinking, I got to do this, about taking a video instead of doing a Zoom meeting.
Yeah.
Did you come up with that?
I love like tips and tricks and life hacks and stuff like that. And I'm always digging around looking for cool stuff of like, I don't know, like things on your iPhone that you didn't know you can do and stuff like that. And I came across a way to pretend you're on a Zoom meeting without actually having to sit through the meeting, where you can kind of just loop yourself on the video. And so people just think you're listening quietly when you could be doing whatever you want. And I thought, oh, this is a keeper.
Yeah, no, I mean, actually, that's happening right now. People don't know it. I'm in Canada, you're in L.A., and I've actually never met Lauren in person.
That's right.
So we're on FaceTiming, and I'm actually just looping. It's not FaceTime. I took your advice, and I'm just here, and my head is moving.
And I fell for it.
No, you didn't. You didn't. You knew it all along that I was, just kind of having fun with some of this stuff. But there are some real creative ideas, and I admire you for doing that, because I could never be that creative. Being a lawyer, you know, you're not creative at all. That's what people say.
And I don't know anything about the law. This is why we make a great team, Alan. We both bring something to the
table.
I'm glad
you admitted that. Yeah. Like, you're supposed to know about the law. You know about Earth Day, though.
Maybe.
You're celebrating Earth Day?
Yes. If by celebrating you mean, like, not throwing garbage out the window of my car and taking my bike somewhere today. Yes, I'm celebrating.
That's good. Yeah, they're doing all the stuff. We're on lockdown
things
here in Toronto. I'm on lockdown, so I can't do anything. I can't throw anything out the window. I can't pollute the earth. So we are observing Earth Day in the strictest sense.
Yeah, you have a very tiny carbon footprint.
I do. I have a very tiny footprint, period. The shoes I wear should be, sometimes I have to, have bigger shoes, but, they're pretty small, actually. So let me ask you this, Lauren. When was the last time you spent an hour with two former NFL football players?
I mean, if I had a dime for every time I spent, no, this would be the first, a full hour, this would be the first.
Wait a second, I liked your first answer better. Can we go back to that dime answer?
I've spent time with some NFL players, but I don't think I've ever had a full hour with anyone.
No. Have you dated one?
No.
Oh.
No.
Say that so emphatically, like I would never date
it. No, meaning like I wish. No one's ever given me a call,
Okay, well, there you go.
I don't know where you find them. Did they all hang out at a specific location?
800-222-5222, 800-222-KBC, if you are a former NFL player or an active NFL player.
Yeah, preferably single, though.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
Yeah,
I think so. So later in the show, we're going to do one of those Shark Tank revisiting the shows. You ever watch Shark Tank?
Yeah, of course. Love it.
Okay. So you know how they have done a show in the past and someone invested, and then they say, okay, let's do an update and see what happened.
Yes.
So we're going to do that with Lenwood Skip Hamilton, who was on the show in January of 2019. And he had filed a lawsuit on behalf, his lawyer did on behalf of him, suing Microsoft and Epic Games for Gears of War. He claimed that they stole his character. Augustus Coltrane Cole was the character in Gears of War, and he said that that was really based on who he is, who is he's a former pro wrestler and a former NFL player with the Philadelphia Eagles. So I know I have created some suspense, and we're going to find out what happened with Lenwood Skip Hamilton's lawsuit over Gears of War.
I'm down.
Any idea?
I don't want to give a spoiler here.
No, don't.
Yeah, let's save it.
But you've done some intellectual property work in your years.
Oh, Alan, yes, I have. I brushed up quickly before the show.
We know all about right to publicity and all of that stuff, which we will talk about with Lenwood Skip Hamilton. He is very engaging. He calls himself the defender of the youth of America. So that's later in the show. But first, let's start off with another former NFL player. His name is Darrell Smith. And he's a real interesting guy. He went to Syracuse University, had all kinds of records. He was captain of the football team and, went to the Senior Bowl and a bowl game, actually, in his senior year, the pinstripe game. And then he went on to become a really incredible chef. It doesn't seem to be right that you go from the gridiron to the cast iron, but that's what Darrell Smith has done, and now he has a show on Taste Made streaming network called Mad Good Food. It is a great show. He is the creator and CEO of 99 Eats. He's developed Amazeballs. Amazeballs are based on his grandmother's meatballs, the OG sauce. That's the key. And we are really thrilled. Lauren, I know you're in studio with Darrell. To have Darrell Smith with us. Darrell, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Yeah, I appreciate you. I appreciate that lovely intro as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, you deserve it. I mean, it's really something to be you were a linebacker, a fullback at the end of your career. You had a neck injury. You paid for the Bucs, Tampa and Houston. And then all of a sudden you do this meatball competition, and your whole life changes. Tell us about it.
Well, I beat a bunch of grandmas in that meatball competition, too. We'll save that
for
later.
You did.
Thank y'all so much. This is my first time doing radio. Usually I do TV, so...
Oh, wow, you're putting us down? Radio is where it's at, man. Come on.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate radio, because I've been working on this voice for a couple weeks now.
It's a great voice.
It's a great
voice.
You know what? Yeah.
Lauren has a face for TV. I have a face for radio.
I saw it while right before we got on here too.
I have to tell you, you would never know that he's, you know, a meatball king. He looks so fit. So the NFL has not left the meatball maker.
It's in my soul. And I think I'll tell you about my story. Like you said, I played football at Syracuse. I was actually Gatorade Player of the Year in high school, and I went to Syracuse as a running back. Also went to Syracuse as an engineer major. So the farthest thing away from chef that you could think of. I got out of engineering, and then I dual majored in IT and marketing. And then my senior year, I went to grad school at Newhouse, and I have a grad degree in advertising. And I was picked up by Tampa Bay after two knee surgeries in college. Wow. I went to the combine, couldn't participate, but I got picked up by Tampa Bay. Did really well, but mid-season was shipped off to Houston. And in Houston, I excelled a lot. And I also had a lot of time to cook. So I would cook a little bit in college for teammates because we weren't able to go home. But then in the NFL, I was able to cook a whole lot because I had so much time and a whole lot of money. And I developed this meatball recipe just over time, like experimenting in the NFL. My second year, I had that career-ending neck injury. And so doing that, I went back to Syracuse, finished up my master's, kept experimenting with these recipes. And one day I came up with the OG sauce just on a limb. Came home from class, threw a bunch of stuff in the pot, and it came out delicious. And I remember telling my friend, one day I'm going to sell this. Fast forward 5 years later, I moved to New York City. I worked in advertising for 5 years, and I decided to enter a meatball competition, and I won. And that's where I beat like 40 grandmas.
Wait a second, Darrell, I got to ask you something. I understand you beat all the grandmas, but you know, this is a legal show, and we have to make sure that there's no fraud involved here. Mm-hmm. The OG, it says it means original grandma sauce. And you're telling me that you put it together. You said you went back to where there was your dorm room or wherever, and you put this sauce together. It would be inaccurate if it was your sauce, if it wasn't the OG original grandma sauce.
Well, that's where advertising comes in. Because if you think about the, so as you mentioned, 99 Eats is my company. And when I started 99 Eats, it was on the idea to just spread love through food. And picking a logo, so, oh, I don't have the logo on me. But it's, as a grandma, the logo is a grandmother. And it's shaped after my grandmother's. And this whole idea of spreading love through food. And every time you experience the 99 Eats and Amazeballs brand, it feels as though you left your grandma's table. And so this sauce is more so just the nostalgia that it makes you feel after you eat it. Mm-hmm. So anytime you eat this sauce or you taste our food, it takes you back, almost like that Ratatouille moment where he eats the Ratatouille and it takes him back to his grandmother's table. That's what Amazeballs is. And I think we've been able to do that. I mean, I've been doing this full-time 5 years now. But every single time we serve the sauce or somebody eats the meatballs or any food that we serve, it takes them back, and they feel the need to come back and tell me that.
How did you manage to bottle up that nostalgia? You're young. You're like 32 years old. You've been doing it for 5 years. It takes grandmas an entire lifetime to come up with that perfect recipe that people will remember for the rest of their lives. How did you cut the line and do it so fast?
I think it's honestly love. Like, I experiment with people who I love. And so anytime that I cook, I have the opportunity to do it in love. And I think that is what grandmas do. Like, I've made so many meatballs. Like, I can't explain how many meatballs I've made. And I made so much OG sauce that by now, I literally can make it in my sleep. And I think that's the same thing with grandmas. They literally, you know, for the first 3 years, I didn't even measure. So I would cook meatballs for 290 orders of meatballs, which is... Four orders per. It's almost, I don't even know how many that is. 1,300 meatballs, right? And I wouldn't even measure. I would sit there and I would do everything just off of feeling. And I think that is the power of grandma. And so if you think of grandma as a concept, then it makes sense that I'm able to do it because I put in so much time and so much love. And that's what comes across when you taste the food.
Sure.
We gotta take a quick break now. But, you know, when I hear you talk about love, it's a good thing that you're not still in the NFL because I can imagine a lot, like, you know, if Adrian Peterson is running at you and you're a middle linebacker and you're talking about love, he's just going to run you over when you're trying to hug him. So I think you found really your calling in life because, you know, the NFL, there isn't a lot of love. But I do want to talk about, because you have played, you know, significant football, and you've made a lot of meatballs. So we got lots to talk about after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Yeah. We don't even have a bumper there. It's just some music. I don't know what's going on at KABC. Lauren, any idea?
You're throwing around that radio lingo.
Well, where do they come in and say, the glass is always half full on Gervie's
Law.
I didn't hear that.
Well, that's what you say. Maybe they want a live
one. You want me to say it?
Was that a real radio term I used?
Yeah, bumper.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just, okay, well, I'm trying my best.
No, I love you. You're peeling back the curtain here. Everyone listening will get an idea of what radio life is all about.
8 years and I'm still trying to figure out what it is about, but you know all about it. Lauren Savon has been in TV and radio for many years. You know, I'm not going to say how many because you look way younger than you look as the same age as Darrell Smith, so we'll go with that.
Thank you. Very generous. Thank you very much.
We're going to talk a little bit about Mad Good Food in a minute. Darrell Smith, former NFL player and Syracuse University star. By the way, Darrell, you played against some really great guys when you were at Syracuse and in the NFL, of course, but you had that big game against Notre Dame at Syracuse, and you were playing against guys like Golden Tate, receiver, and Jimmy Clausen, who actually is my next-door neighbor, funnily enough.
Oh, wow.
Played against him, and I walk with his kids all the time to the park.
Cool.
What was it like back then, and you played under Doug Marrone, you know, a well-known NFL coach? What was that like?
it was cool because it was a transition. We actually beat Notre Dame at Notre Dame, and that was under the old coaching regime.
Wow.
And that was a cool experience. I'd never seen anything like Notre Dame or walking through the tunnel with the bands on both sides. Like, it's a really cool experience. And it was also cool to beat them at night at Notre Dame in 10-degree weather. So that was pretty cool. But Doug Marrone was my second coach in college, and it was like night and day. We had a coach before him who was actually at USC right before he came to Syracuse. And he just didn't fit Syracuse. Like, it wasn't anything against his coaching style. It just didn't resonate with the players. And then you get Doug Marrone, who comes in, and he's a Syracuse University graduate, really hard-nosed. I remember the first day he cursed us out because the locker room was in disarray. And he kind of set that tone as soon as he arrived. And the beautiful thing was he managed the team like a business. Like, he let his coaches coach the players. He had appointed a kind of like a court. Like, each class had members of this court, a leadership court. And he would meet with us each week. And he appointed me the leader of that court. And so each week I would have to meet with Doug Marrone on Mondays. And wow. We would come up with little things like... the team wants to wear armbands. And so I would have to negotiate with the head coach every Monday.
Wow.
About armbands, or we want to be able to wear long sleeve shirts. And he would sit there and he would like, okay, you could do this, you could do this. Here's why you can't do this. And I served as that
ambassador, like, really.
Yeah, I was an ambassador for the team to the head coach.
Wow.
And that was pretty cool.
You were wondering what this show particular had to do with law, because, you know, this is a legal show. And Darrell just told us, you know, there was a court going on that football team, and there was all kinds of rules and laws that Doug Marrone was helping them out. So there's your connection right there, the legal connection, court. It's amazing, though, that you had that kind of experience. Have you had any communication or contact with Doug Marrone since?
Not since, but a lot of the coaching staff I stay in touch with, and I'm pretty sure if I reached out to Doug Marrone today, it would be all love, just because, I mean, that's how football is. Like, we've gone through so much together, and when you go through something like that with anybody, it's always love. And so head coaches usually, it's hard to stay in touch with head coaches, but usually your position coaches, like my coaches would text me all the time. Doug Marrone just doesn't have an Instagram, but if he did.
But has he tried your meatballs?
He hasn't tried the meatballs yet.
Oh, wow.
But he will.
One day. There you go.
However, coincidentally, Tom Coughlin, who is, he was the Giants head coach.
Yeah.
But he was also the VP of, like, he was VP of something for Jacksonville when Doug Marrone was the head coach for Jacksonville. And a couple of weeks ago, I partnered up with his organization called the J Fund. And what they do is they provide low-income families who have children with cancer. They basically pay bills for these people. And they reached out to me to do a cooking segment for these kids who literally would come home from chemo. And instead I said, what if we developed a menu and recipes based on what parents have available to them through WIC? So WIC is like Women and Children. It's
assistance program.
Yes, assistance program. Mm-hmm. And we did that. So I made pickles, because literally all of the ingredients in pickles are something that you can get basically for free through WIC. And then WIC reached out to develop a program. So now I've partnered with WIC to bring that same program to the Watts Empowerment Center. And so I haven't spoken to Doug Marrone, but I've been in contact with another Syracuse grad in Tom Coughlin, who was coaching with Doug Marrone just a few months ago.
And well known with the Giants as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Didn't end up too well, but very well known.
He got some rings.
His ingenuity on the football field. You know, I want to turn this over to Lauren, because Lauren is really a foodie, and I'm not. So we need to talk now about this really great show, Mad Good Food.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lauren?
Yeah, no, I've been watching all the segments of Mad Good Food.
All right.
And it's great because I've had this problem being a independent lady myself. Mm-hmm. You don't end up cooking for yourself because you're like, I'm not gonna make a big meal for myself because then I have to eat it for a full week. And you figured out a workaround, and that's why I think the show's so great. So tell us how you came up with that idea.
I appreciate that. Actually, we had been shooting a show in January, so this all came together in January. I moved here in November, me and my fiance broke up 2 weeks into moving here.
Oh.
By December 1st, I had to move into a, move all in, all by myself. And then that very next week, I had to shoot a show. Like, just sad. And we did so well that by lunch, they basically said, like, oh, you deserve your own show. And so at lunch, we basically talked about it. And then within a week of that, we started to discussing how we put together Mad Good Food.
That must have been a great segment, because I will be honest with you, working in TV, that never happens.
Never happens.
They never say, why don't you have your own show?
Why don't
show?
You have your own show, Darrell? Yeah. So it was wild, because even before that, like, coming from Brooklyn, I was in food all of this time. And so when I first got here, to be offered my own show within a month of arriving.
It's a Hollywood dream.
Oh, serendipitous. Like, I was meant to be here.
Yeah.
And so we started to talk about it. And we really wanted the show to make sense, because I think that a lot of food shows, it just wasn't my style, and it wasn't Taste Made style. And if we had the opportunity to make something that everybody wanted to see, I think that we took advantage of it.
Yeah.
And so every single piece of it was intentional. It just wasn't us creating a large menu and breaking it down into two smaller menus. It was the people we hired. And so We had black people on set. Like, our EP was a black woman. Our culinary producer was, in TV, basically the culinary producer is the person who cooks a lot of
the food. Sure.
And we are, like, us three have to basically come up with all of these things. And so in developing a show, we all sat down and tried to figure out what would make sense for now and later. And so when you think about the current situation, a lot of people were looking forward to cooking for family coming out of a pandemic.
Yeah.
And when they have that opportunity, we wanted to be there to teach them how to do it, right? And then a lot of people were also single. A lot of COVID breakups and just a lot of single people in general.
And look at Alan. I mean, he's by himself. You could probably use some lessons.
You need some Mad Good Food in your life, Alan.
Yeah.
And so when we thought about that, it just made sense to make a meal that we could make for family coming out of a pandemic, and then teaching people how to take particles from that larger meal and break it down into two solo meals for themselves.
Yeah.
And so I think the show just makes a whole lot of sense. And that's
practical.
What I'm about. Yes, it's very practical and it's very intentional. There were moments on set, like I said, we had a lot of, it was just diversity. It was not just only black women on set, but it was just diversity across the board. And I remember this one episode, we were talking about Juneteenth. And that's basically the last episode of the season.
Really?
And we also get to share my stories. So
sure.
All of these stories are my stories. And it's like an educational component in there, kind of. And there was this one moment where Rose Clear, who is our culinary producer, in between sets, Juanita, who was the EP, is discussing something with me and like talking me through it. And Rose Clear just comes up and puts her hand on my shoulder. And it was just like, I don't know, like it was like a moment in church where it was like, yo, I got you. Like, it was, and that was the whole sense of everybody on set. Even, this is probably unheard of, we shot the show over 5 days, and every morning Juanita, the EP, would bring me breakfast.
Aww.
And so it was just like, literally, I came to work with family every single day.
That's unique as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You're lucky.
And she told me, because this is my first TV show.
Lauren,
so
you didn't have
like,
that experience.
No
you?
One was buying me breakfast,
yeah,
I can assure you. No one's putting their hand on my shoulder unless it was the wrong way.
Yeah, let's not get into the Harvey Weinstein thing. That wasn't right.
It was never this cushy family. So, I mean, this is kind of a dream job in every way. You're doing something you love. You're with people that love you.
Mm-hmm.
You have respect for them. And it's your first TV gig.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all
crazy.
Around.
I mean, the bar
Charmed.
Was set pretty high by Taste Me in this first one.
You're going to be so disappointed from here on out.
I hope not.
That's very optimistic.
Not.
You know, we got to take another break in a second. The show is on Taste Made Streaming Network. Tell us how people can listen to it, watch it. Darrell, in just a couple seconds, because we got to go to break.
So you can watch it every Thursday at 8 p.m. on Taste Made's streaming networks. It's available on all the devices. And then you could also watch it on demand on Taste Made's app and their website as well. So you go to tastemade.com, look up Mad Good Food, and you'll see tonight, actually, episode 3 aired tonight. And so you can see a new episode tonight, actually.
In 30 minutes, people can watch Mad Good Food. Are you going to tell the secret of the meatballs? At any point?
It's just love. That's all it is. And good music. music infuses the meatballs.
Well, you're not going to find that at the supermarket.
That's a fact.
What do they taste like? Are they like Swedish meatballs?
Like love, Alan. Haven't you been listening?
I don't know what love tastes like.
You do.
Maybe we'll find out.
You know when you taste it.
Take a break. Lauren's going to tell us what love tastes like after the break. You're listening to Gary's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC Love. Yes, we are back, and we are talking to Darrell Smith, former NFL player turned chef, creator and CEO of 99 Eats, yeah. And Mad Good Food, the show that will be starting in about 20 minutes on Taste Made Streaming Network. You don't want to miss it. Darrell, why don't you give us a little taste of what the show is going to be about today?
So tonight's episode is actually about what is this? Oh, this story is about a experience I had when the Houston Texans won the AFC championship. We won our first playoff game, and I don't know if I could say strip club on the radio. Can I say strip club? Well, strip club.
We like to make sure that it's said every show.
Oh, strip club. Yeah. So this show is actually about these chicken wings I had at a strip club in Houston, who has the best.
Wait, are you talking about food now, Darrell?
Yeah, we are talking about food.
It's not a euphemism, right?
We were in VIP.
And, of course you were.
And I'm eating these lemon pepper chicken wings, right? And it's a wet lemon pepper chicken wing. And I'm just overlooking the whole entire club, and there's money everywhere and glitter. And I just so happened to be wearing a fake diamond chain because, like, I didn't have much money.
Because you're out on the town.
I'm out. And if you play in the NFL and you wear a fake diamond chain, everybody assumes it's real.
Of course.
Right.
Until a real diamond chain walks in. And so my teammate walks in with a real diamond chain.
Oh, no.
And so when we thought about this episode and talking about guys' night out, it was perfect because while I'm in VIP eating these chicken wings. And I'm wearing this fake diamond chain, and the real diamond chain walks in. I go to tuck in my diamond chain and smear lemon pepper sauce all over my shirt at the strip club. So this whole episode...
Did the strippers know the difference between the real diamond chain and the fake one? The lap dance
Yeah,
for?
Strippers know.
If I went into detail about this whole night, she definitely knew because we made eye contact for like 3 seconds, and then she went right to the OGs.
This is really an area that hasn't been exploited on television, the culinary style of strip clubs, because I'm sure you've been to many all across the country, right?
Not really.
Some are better than others?
I don't really like strip clubs, but in the NFL, you have to because every single week you go to the strip club after a football game.
Sure.
And so it's the culture, especially in a place like Houston, the culture is to go to the strip club at like 3 a.m. after a game. And
yeah, you don't want to be offensive to their culture.
Not at all. Not at all.
Absolutely. So if Watt is there, you got to be
you
there.
You got to go.
Yeah. I haven't been to a strip club since Houston, though. So that says something. But the food at strip clubs in Houston in particular is chef's kiss. I wish y'all could see my chef's kiss on the ratio, but chef's kiss for sure.
You know, Alan, we were talking during the break about who has the greatest fans. You know, obviously, he's an Eagles fan, grew up in Philly.
Oh, yeah.
They have some hardcore fans there. He said Dallas, right?
Yeah.
But who has the best food?
Ooh, Philly. Like, I'm a Philly boy. I'm a cheesesteak boy. I'm a hoagie boy. Yeah. Yesterday, I had a hoagie for the first time. It was all right here.
In Los Angeles?
I know, right? Yeah. It's a place called York and Orleans. Orleans and York, something like that.
Hmm.
It was actually really good.
Really?
And they stuffed it with meat. So I was a fan.
You got to get your meatballs there.
You say what?
Yeah, get your meatballs
out there.
You
got to get meatballs there.
Yeah, I might have to hit them up. I'm going to hit them up and be like, yo, put these amazing balls in there, bro.
Now people are hearing this now. There are going to be a lot of places around L.A. who want the meatballs.
That's a fact. Well, hit me up.
Maybe that will be the thing at Rams games.
Yeah, I would love
that. Oh, that'd be great.
Right?
I'm going to hit up the Rams.
What do they taste like, Lauren?
I wish I knew. I mean, he's painted a picture for us, but so far,
I'll bring you some for sure.
Yeah, we're going to look forward to it.
Do a deep dive as a journalist and find out what they taste like.
I got to tell you something, Darrell. For your first radio show, you've done an excellent job. I mean, really, you're a natural, you know. Have you been a little uneasy people not seeing your face and everything?
Nah, man, this is cool. I also have a lovely host to look at and have a conversation with. So it's very easy all across the board.
Thank you. I appreciate you talking about me that way.
Yeah,
the fact of the matter is this will be on podcast after it's airing live now. And then it will go to podcast. You go to Gervie's Law. You can go to the Facebook page. All kinds of stuff to hear all about Darrell Smith and Mad Good Food, which it's going to be on in any minute now on Tastemade. Darrell, we want to thank you for coming in studio and really making us smile, sharing the love. You really have shared a lot of love today, and we're looking forward to tasting the meatballs and all the other food. The show was great. Good luck with it.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you so much. I appreciate both of you for your time.
Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely.
It was a blast.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. After the break, we're getting the update on Leadenwood, Skip Hamilton, Hard Rock Hamilton, the defender of the youth of America. Don't miss it. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Yeah. Can I just sit and listen to the music? Do I actually have to talk?
We don't want to interrupt if you're enjoying this vibe.
You got some good moves, Lauren. I was just watching.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, this is nothing. You should see me later at the strip club.
Apparently, Darrell may have seen you.
I mean, strip club chicken wings are underrated, I say.
I didn't know they had lemon pepper. I always thought they were just Hooter wings.
You got to know the right people.
Yeah.
They're not on the menu.
You got to know the right people.
Oh, it's an off-menu item.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
I don't know those off-menu items, you know. And I hear that's the same with the strippers as well. They have some off-menu
items.
Absolutely.
You know, so but I don't know anything about that. So we have advertised very heavily that we would be doing this update on Leadenwood Skip Hamilton. And the question is, you're in studio there, Lauren.
Yeah.
I'm in Toronto. Any sign of Hard Rock Hamilton?
No. I mean, this show is quite decentralized. We're like Bitcoin right now. Like, we have powers distributed all over the planet, and one of our blockchain recipients we're not able to get in touch with him.
You know, I know you know a lot about crypto because I follow you on your social media, and you were encouraging me. Hey, don't fall off the chair there. You were encouraging me to use my check from the government.
That's right.
To buy some crypto.
That's
right. What would it buy? Like one millionth of a Bitcoin?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but there's all this other crypto that you can buy that's like basically nothing right now. So you just throw some money at it and
that's not going to be Bitcoin. I got to tell you a quick story because you're going to look at me and really tell me I'm a loser. You ready for this?
Ready
for this?
Yeah.
I've been doing this show for 8 years. In my first year of doing the show, I had a guest on.
Who told you to buy Bitcoin?
Steve Beauregard. And he was this Bitcoin guy. At the time, I knew nothing about it, never had heard of it. It was at $245.
Oh, Alan.
And he said, you got to buy it. And I said, I don't really understand it because it just seems it's for like criminals who can't use regular currency.
Boy, were you wrong.
Yeah. Well, listen, everybody was, don't feel bad because everybody said the exact same thing. I mean, it's only been like in the last year, I think, that people have woken up and said, wait a minute. There's money to be made here. I mean, someone like Darrell, for example, who's still here with us, like, I feel like you probably have what's called an NFT, right? Do you have an NFT of yourself yet? Or some?
I'm about to do some naked.
Let's get on it.
Y'all gotta look at my Instagram. I got some pics with the butt out. I might do a butt out NFT.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to put in an offer on Darrell Smith's NFT, a non-fungible token of his, as he described it, his butt out on Instagram. I mean, Alan, do you understand that the world around us is changing, that that's considered a high piece of art now?
I haven't seen it, but I imagine it is a high piece of art.
And if you could NFT a GIF, you might even get a little shake out of that butt.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
wow.
It's like a different language.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Have you done that, Lauren?
With my butt? No. No one wants to see
that. What are you doing your NFT with?
this is a really good question. I've been pondering this for so long, like what would make a really good NFT? It has to be something digital and it has to be something people want to see. Any ideas?
Your eyes.
Oh, my eyes.
The eyes. Beautiful.
You never
eyes.
Know. That
I
might
think
be up
the
on
hair.
The auction block.
I'm going with the, it looks like, you know, it's kind of a little wild.
Yeah.
And it says that you've got, you know, a lot of smarts, but at the same time, you got a little bit of a wild side.
That's great, Alan.
I would go with that.
Yeah, okay. I'll do it.
What is your fascination with crypto? Have you been heavily involved, or you're just kind of laughing at it?
No, I'm a reporter, so I cover a lot of, you know, financial things, and I speak to a lot of nerds who are really into crypto, and I saw how much money they're making, and like once you... I don't understand fully how it's mined and, you know, how all that works. I just understand the future of it. And once you get that aha moment and you're like, oh, this is going to be the future, then you can see all of, you know, the different ways we're going to be able to use it. And then I was like, well, I need to get in and start making some money along with these nerdy guys.
But who's really using it other than maybe Tesla and a few other companies? It hasn't caught on as quickly, even though, of course, as an investment, you can become a billionaire. You could have become a billionaire. I think it's going to go down now for a little while anyway.
Yeah. Well, there's different applications, right? There's crypto for decentralized banking now, like these I don't want to get into the weeds. I don't want to bore everybody listening to this show. But, I mean, there's a million different applications now. I mean, NFTs, these non-fungible tokens, are just one application when it comes to art, when it comes to sports collectibles, because, you know, the money goes back to the artist, which is a huge thing. I mean, you think if Darrell, for example, has, you know, sports memorabilia that's his and he sells it, once it gets resold, he doesn't make the money anymore. But with an NFT, he will. And with all these other different cryptocurrencies, you know, you can just see all the different applications, like titles for a house. When you buy a house, you have to pay a title company to research the deed. That could all be on the blockchain now, so you know exactly what you're getting. I mean, things like that that I think are going to take over little by little. And that's why I'm using that stimulus money for crypto. I'm not a financial advisor, by the way. Please don't take my advice on that. That's what I'm doing.
Well, I think anyone who has a question should call in at 800-222-5222. It's Lauren Savon, financial advisor extraordinaire.
Yeah, please.
And Darrell Smith. You know, Darrell can talk about his experience with crypto because he's from a little bit of a younger generation. I mean, I know I don't want to say, you know, you had your birthday beginning of April, but he's a little younger than you, not a lot, and maybe his generation has a different perspective.
No. I don't, I'm learning some of it right now. I understand the blockchain a little, but I won't sit on here and act like I know a lot about it.
But your generation, I will say, is more, they say, like, digitally native, right?
Absolutely.
Because you grew up online,
yeah.
Basically.
It's cool to be in this generation because I remember before computers, and now I've been able to see how important...
Do you remember, like, before...
Oh, yeah. My stepfather was a... he was computer science major at Drexel. So he's worked in IT his whole life.
Oh, wow.
And I remember growing up, and we got our first computer... And I remember how expensive it was, one. And then, two, I remember having to not be able to use the phone and hearing that crazy stuff.
Take 20 minutes to download a photo.
And so I remember that. And then also to see how fast it's grown, how many problems it solved.
Mm-hmm.
And
made.
And made as well.
Yeah.
But I think that's the role of technology, to create and also destroy some things. But along the way, like, hopefully people... continue to build on it. And I think that when you look at things like NFTs or you look at things like cryptocurrency, we created a digital world and now we have to find ways to populate it with things. And mm-hmm. I think that things like this are the first step to it. Not even first step, but it's just going to keep
it's
growing.
It's an evolution.
Absolutely.
You know, old-fashioned technology, the telephone. Remember the telephone? We have Tina on the line from San Clemente on the telephone. Tina. Oh.
Hi.
What's up, Tina?
Well, I'm really upset with the younger generation, to be honest with you, and the older generation of those who are telling the younger generation that our world is totally changing and it's going in a horrible way right now. absolutely horrible way. And as of the internet and all of that, from my age to now, it's not doing us any good. It is not. Yeah, it makes things a little bit faster, but it's not making human beings a better human being.
Tina, you're upset with the older generation and the younger generation. Is there anyone you're not upset with?
What I'm mad about is the psychopaths who are telling the young generation now how horrible people are and how much you should hate your country and how much everybody before us did all wrong for this younger generation, and they need to wipe out everything that we've done. Well,
Wow.
Didn't get her question, but she has a lot to say.
What happened to her? Was she dumped?
No,
or
we lost her call.
She was just getting too excited.
I don't know. Maybe she
has...
You know,
she's upset about a lot of things, and I think that we've talked about love on this show, and she kind of misses that love.
Mm. I wish we could have talked to her and gave her some.
Yeah.
Next time.
Well, why don't you... Durrell, let's pretend she's still... Tina is on the line. I'll be Tina.
Okay.
You know, I hate this world. I hate everyone. I hate the youth. I hate the old people. Durrell, can you make me feel better about this technology and all of the things that are going wrong? I can't stand it. My name's Tina, and I'm from... Where is she from? Sacramento?
Well, I would approach it with... maybe she just needs to listen to people instead of... feeling so bad. If that's the way she feels, she should seek out talking to somebody from a younger generation and maybe an older generation and trying to understand versus just being so angry. Because I think that if you're just angry, it ain't going to lead you nowhere. But if you actually take the time to understand somebody, because I could kind of understand like where she's coming from. I have this, I wouldn't call him a friend on Facebook, but he's a out there racist man. But we're able to have, like, we're able to exchange civilized DMs because I'm curious about why he feels this way.
Yeah,
and
I think
my advice to her would just be, instead of hating something, be curious about it and try to learn it and then make a decision.
Tina should feel good about the fact that the jury ruled the way that they did earlier in the week on the Chauvin trial, because I think the country would have been in a lot of pain, and there would have been a lot of conflict. So there still is a lot of conflict, but Tina doesn't really know what conflict is until we get more rioting and upset people. So hopefully, Durrell, your message of love will truly spark others to think about that and watch Mad Good Food.
And get some amazeballs in her life. She needs some meatballs.
She does need some
amazeballs. Or maybe go to one of those stripper clubs, I think.
And some, get
Durrell,
get
is it
drinks.
Okay if we say stripper clubs on the radio?
That's strip club. I mean, you can say strip clubs.
So, Lauren, what happened to Lenwood, Skip Hamilton?
He followed his name and skipped the show, Alan. He was a no... We couldn't get him on the line for some reason.
Maybe he'll come back. Just for those of you who wanted to know, we got to close out the show, but for those of you who wanted to know, the case was against Microsoft and Epic Games of Gears of War. Unfortunately, Lenwood Skip Hamilton lost the case, and the court ruled that there was some similarity, but not enough similarity for the plaintiff, Lenwood Skip Hamilton, to prevail in trying to say that the character Augustus Coltrane Cole was a takeoff of Lenwood Skip Hard Rock Hamilton.
Mm.
So there you go. You know, Lauren, I appreciate you didn't give that away.
No.
But you know what? And now everyone knows.
Now we have the answer.
All right, Lauren, it's been great having you here with me again.
It's a pleasure.
We got to meet in person sometime.
I love our mysterious online relationship.
Yeah, it is mysterious.
We'll keep it sexy a little longer.
A little longer. Durrell, thanks for being with us. It's been great. Good luck, as I said before.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you.